Friday Night Racing
on Off the Ball.
And they're off.
Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.
Yes, indeed, you are very welcome along to Friday Night Racing on Off the Ball, brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie, or indeed you can follow the new Twitter account at HRI Racing, and you can also use the hashtag Every Racing Moment. Our guest this week is Pat Healy. Pat, you're very welcome. How are you?
Thanks for having me, lads.
I'm glad you're here. How are you doing? You. I see you've dressed up for us. That's very nice of you. I see Johnny's wearing his communion money bought Galway jersey. It doesn't fit you as well.
Galway United playing Shamrock Rovers tonight. First big game in the 2 years, so looking forward to it. Straight onto the train after the show. So.
When did you buy the jersey?
About 2 years ago. 3 years ago.
And have you been wintering well ever since? Was it bought?
Small.
Skin tight.
Skin tight, yeah.
Is that what the young ones are wearing these days, Johnny?
Something like that. Tonight's going to be good. Shamrock Rovers in town. Maybe you're not Jack Byrne, but a bit of buzz in Galway. I hope the crowd comes out to support the team as well, because we could do with it.
This man's a legend. He's abusing the word talking about us, but legitimately he is a legend.
He's possibly the best known man in racing. I include Aidan O'Brien and Willie Mullins and all them characters. Great way with people. I probably mentioned when I did a trip around Ireland recently, and I met Billy Keane on the train, and there were 8 carriages on the train. So I do remember looking up at the board in Houston. There was 8 carriages. Maybe there's 50 or 60 people in a carriage, but Billy ended up sitting opposite me anyway. And I had met him before, and we chatted away.
You wore the ear off him like you do everybody else.
No, he wore the ear off me. No, I was quiet, and there's something about Listowel people. They have the gift of the gab down there. And also Listowel's a bit different too. When we went to Kerry, we went to South Kerry and we went to West Cork, and that's where all the tourists go. I think North Kerry is a little bit different, and the Listowel people have a slightly different way about them, where they rely on their banter and their words and the crack, and obviously they have a great festival starting on Sunday as well, and I'm looking forward to visiting John B. Keane's pub for the first time, because I haven't been in there.
Listowel, you're right, it's a market town originally, and there's great characters, of course, famous people like John B. Keane. John B. put Listowel on the map, and of course Brian McMahon, who was the principal of Skulreilt in the Modena and wrote Peg, and a great writer as well. So I slag Billy now. All John B. had to do was look out the pub window and watch fellas in the street or listen to fellas in the pub, and he got great stories. But great, Listowel is actually a great community, fantastic town, the best town in Ireland to live in.
So you grew up there?
I grew up born and reared. I was born and reared in O'Connell's Avenue, and then my dad and my mom, Lord have mercy on them, they bought a house in Ballygillog Park and moved there. But I always tell people, like, you've a river, you've got a pitch and putt course at Town Park. It's a great sporting town. There's festivals like Writers' Week is world renowned, and of course the Harvest Festival,
and the monorail,
and there's history, and you're 9 miles from the nicest beach in the world, Ballybunion. It's a great community, great schools, great sporting town, great people.
Was your dad into racing, or was it kind of was he more into photography than racing?
My dad started out, he was working for Willie Gallivan, which is J.J. Gallivan's son's drink distributors. So basically what that was, that they, Willie Gallivan and Sons Limited, distributed drinks to all the pubs and hotels in North Kerry, in that area. So the boss was a lorry driver.
Right.
But he had an interest in racing always, and when he was a young fella, he used to cut the pictures out of the newspapers and put them in a box and keep them, and loved looking at pictures of horses. So back in the day, they were black and white, obviously. And that's how he got the interest. Then he bought a camera. And
a big investment at that stage.
Yeah, exactly. You were going back to the early 70s. So, and my mom, Joan, Lord have mercy on her, they bought the house in Ballyglog Park. So the boss is working for Willie Gallivan, a lovely man. And I always admire him. You admire dad anyway. But I always admire him. He made the decision to give up a secure job and to throw his hat and try his hand at going racing and selling photographs.
And why did he do that? Like, did you realise, have you asked him when he was alive, like, Dad, what are you doing? Because this is the changes that...
I often spoke to him about it. He had good help in him at the start. There was two jockeys at the time, Johnny, you know, obviously one of them very well, Ted Welsh. Ted was riding at the time, champion amateur, and there was a man from Mullingarry area called Pat Casserly. Pat was champion amateur as well back in the day. And they encouraged him, and they introduced him to people in the racing circuit. Coming from Listowel in North Kerry, it isn't exactly the centre of the racing industry.
It's far from everywhere.
Yeah.
I've never been to Listowel.
What?
I've never been to the races, never been to the town.
You should be ashamed of yourself, JD. You should be ashamed. But they introduced him, and then he got to know more and more, and he started doing the Southern Circuit. But he had the guts, and I have to say, the balls to give up a job and say, right, I'm going to have a crack at this. And obviously with the support of my mum, she said, yeah, go ahead. Cathy wasn't born at the time, my younger sister. Cathy now runs the office for us. So he had three kids, Lisa, myself, and Liam. And he decided, I'm going to have a go at this. And he did. That time there was less racing, so he would have been out Thursdays in the south in the winter and Saturdays. And then he got to know people and got recognised, and if you like, it snowballed.
And so what was his official job when he went to work that first time? Did he have a contract from the race course? No, nothing.
He stood at the last hurdle.
Freelancer.
And he took a picture, that time it was film, of course.
Yeah.
And he took a picture of the horses, the jump in the last hurdle or whatever. And then if you rode a winner, you knew him and you went to him to send you on a picture or whatever. I found, we were clearing out his office the other day, Cathy and the lads were clearing out his office, and we found his first order book.
No way.
And he wrote down meticulously, he was a great writer, and he wrote down the names and addresses and what people ordered. And as gas, the first two orders were from ex-trainer Liam Brown.
Oh yeah.
Liam Brown, who's training the Curragh.
My mum and dad's next door neighbour.
Yeah, and Andrew McNamara.
Right.
Andrew from Croom.
Yeah.
So that's how we got going, and it wasn't easy. Like I can remember going back to the 80s when there was a bit of a recession that time, and it was always a bit of a struggle. But
it was a horrific recession that people don't really fully grasp now, where oil prices were absolutely soaring, interest rates were one day 15%, the next day 16%, the day after that 17%. The Johnny's generation has lived in a world of post interest rates, effectively, where where it was mad, where nobody
crazy
had any
rates.
Any sense of money, and you needed good credit to be able to do business.
Yeah. I do remember my father as well, and trying to buy land at that time, and he was explaining to me years later how much he had to pay back, and I just couldn't get my head around it, how bankrupt the country really was at the time. Like
3 or 4 times the value of the land you had to pay over, and people just accepted it if that was the way it was going. So to be a businessman, setting up a business and giving up the permanent pensionable job, or at least a permanent job, was a
ballsy thing to do, fair play to him.
Especially when what you're doing is not something that everybody fully understands, because there's a bit of art involved in it.
He always had a good eye, but that went back to his childhood when he was cut the pictures out of the papers. And he always had a good eye, and he was a great photographer, he was. And again, he was a great people person. And even today, I'd always meet someone once a week. They'd talk about him and fondly.
So Pat, when's the first time that you remember going with your dad and going, oh, okay, that's what you do?
The first time was Askeaton Pint a Pint in February 1979.
Right, well, you remember it.
So I may have been giving away my age, JW, but I remember it well. At the time as well, it's gas the way things coincide, but Xavier McAuliffe had started off a business in Listowel called Spectra. So if you remember, Spectra was you dropped your film into a shop in Dublin, say. And Spectra picked it up and brought it down to a factory in Listowel, developed it, and you picked it up the next day.
Yeah.
It was a 24-hour service.
I didn't realise that there was that's how that worked.
Spectra was in Listowel, but I always remember my first pint of pint at Askeaton, Ted Welch was riding there, and John Fowler was riding there, and the Costellos, the famous Costello family in Clare, were starting out. They would have been riding. Nicky D, great legend back in the day. All them pint of pint legends, Timmy Callaghan, and at that time, a roll of film there was 37 pictures in a roll of film. And I always remember going up to the factory, up to Spectre with the boss the next day. I was so excited to see my pictures. And I remember Xavier McAuliffe, the owner of Spectre, coming out to me, shaking my hand. He couldn't believe that I took these pictures.
Right.
That there was only, I think, half a dozen rejects. What that meant was that they were no good. The pictures were no good. So I thought, this is easy. I've cracked. But for the next 6 months, every film that went into Spectra, There was 30 rejects wow. and six good ones. So it was trial and error. And
why was that, Pat? Just because you were taking photos of a moving sport and it was tough?
Yeah, like, of course, yeah. And like, you think a horse is going to jump the fence there and he jumps it here. And it was manual focus, manual aperture. Everything was manual.
Not did like that catch you at all? Did it, that, this is...
No, I loved it. Yeah. I loved it. And I always loved, and I still to this day, I always love seeing my picture in a newspaper. And it still gives me a great kick.
When did you start, like, making the papers in the 80s? But, like, when did you feel like you were, I'm beginning to crack this?
Well, I'm working for the Irish Field since the 80s. Great organisation, great newspaper. Val Lamb was the editor. Started off with the Pint of Pints. We used to supply the Irish Field. We still do, thankfully, with the Pint of Pints. And just to see those Pint of Pint pictures in the paper, always gave me a great kick. And so that was my first day. And thankfully, I still love it. I still love going racing and taking pictures.
It's kind of like, you know, maybe your first article in the paper as well. And that I remember getting a. The American cousin sent us a Polaroid camera when I was a kid, and any photos from my youth were taken by the Americans, because my parents lived a very simple life and they had no interest in taking any photos of us. And there was a day in school when, you know, normally when the people would come to school once a year, if not once every 2 years, yeah. take a photo of every family. And there was 1 year, of course, and my mother didn't know that this was happening. And we went to school in rudimentary clothes, because, like, if the photographer were coming, it meant that, well, you had to dress like if it were a Sunday. And my mother was absolutely disgusted. And then we brought the photos arrived eventually, and she was delighted. But when I got that Polaroid camera, it was the biggest thing I could ever imagine, and to see the photo come out then in front of you in the space.
Literally, it felt like magic.
Yeah, and now I think Pat would know this better than me, but I think as great as these things are, you know, the loss of people printed photos is a big loss.
Yeah, and I always say to people, especially with young kids, print the pictures. The boss and my mum, Joan, have boxes, biscuit boxes of photographs at home when we were kids, Lisa, Liam, Cathy, myself, and now the grandkids. But now you see people on their phone, and I say, lads, print them.
Print them, and also the aging of the photo is a beautiful thing, because it implies, you know, that some distance has passed, whereas something that's digital doesn't even have any tangibility, where you can smell the photo from the 70s and say, oh, that looks amazing.
And in the back, you'd have written down December 79.
Yeah.
Christmas or whatever, yeah.
The magic to it.
What's it like, when, I know when we get a, say, Jerry got Lance Armstrong, or, you know, if I get a great guest for a show, or get a story, or do a great broadcast, or win an award or whatever. What's the feeling like when you've, like, that photo, say, that in Laytown? When it's the horse looks like he's going off into space, and you see it, it comes out and you go, oh my God, this is going to fly.
That's it there.
Yeah, that's special. That is. That was yesterday. Was it yesterday? A couple of years ago, the 4th or the 5th of August, and. It was gas. My daughter Shun was with me that day. And the only day she was to Laytown, but. Arbitragor, was that he was? That was
Arbit,
his,
yeah.
Arbitragor, one of his name was Johnny, yeah. And he'd done it at the Curragh Derby weekend, Johnny, and we got a frame of him that day. And just when I saw him ended up at Laytown, I said, yeah, I'll keep an eye on him. And I followed him down onto the beach and just stayed behind, and sure enough, he'd done the same. And lucky enough, everything was in order. And.
What I like about that is that you did actually, you took a bit of a punt that it might happen.
Yeah.
Obviously you need, you know, you see the photo there, you need the horse to comply as well and do whatever.
Yeah.
But you took a chance, because otherwise you could have been somewhere else.
Yeah, and of course everything about the technology now, back into the way. I saw it in the back of the camera and I was excited, I must say, because I never saw anything like it. And I said, just download it, save it. That's the next thing, you know, you don't lose it or don't format it. Again, there was the boys in the way, and the jockeys and the officials and the trainers came out to see it, and they were all amazed by it. And so we looked after our contracts and we sent it off. And I think by the time I left Laytown, by the time myself and Shun had left Laytown that evening, it was in Australia. and it was with Twitter and newspaper websites, and it was gone. The image was all over the world.
Yeah. If it's a frustrating thing for us nowadays, if you get an exclusive story, and it doesn't matter a damn really, because someone else is just going to copy and paste it, basically. Mm-hmm. Did you actually make good money from that?
No. Because as I said, the Guardian newspaper, obviously it's not the high-res image, but it's downsized and it's tweeted and it's on their website and it's gone. You don't own it anymore. They pay you for the use of it once, but sure, it flashed around the world how many times. Which is fine, that's the world you live in now. That's another story, but like, I think the best thing about that was my peers, guys that I look up to in the game in America, Australia, England, other photographers sending me messages or meet when I met them last saying, Pat, well done, great picture. Do you know?
Didn't make you rich though.
Sure, I have my health. What do I want to be rich for, Johnny?
It would slightly annoy me that you don't really profit as much as you should from like maybe the best moment of your career.
Yeah,
like.
Exactly. But sure, look, there are different times now, Johnny, and the days of getting rich out of journalism or photography are well gone. Trust me, well gone.
Unless you're a paparazzi, in which case I think you can probably still make some cash, but that's few and far between. I do want to actually, you brought up Laytown. We do have the chance to win a couple of pairs of tickets to Laytown. It's one of the marquee events of the Irish racing season, and it's absolutely worth going to if you haven't been. It's next Wednesday, the 11th of September. So if you're watching on YouTube, Facebook or Twitter, just like, share or comment on the show and you could win, and we'll contact the winners a little bit later on. Or indeed, if you're listening to the show this evening on the radio, then you can text us on 53106. We'll contact the winners tomorrow. That's tickets for the Laytown races on the 11th of September. That's next Wednesday.
It's an absolutely great day out. As long as it's not pissing rain, it's like, I've already had lots of people saying to me, can't wait to go to Laytown, you know, and it's one of the lowest class meetings you'll get all year, but it's so unique. I mean, obviously you'd know more from the pony race and all that, or beach racing, but it's a fantastic day out. 5,000-6,000 people at it. That's proper racetracks can only dream of at times in Ireland, and I'd thoroughly recommend it.
It is a great day out, but it's a shame, and I have to say it is a shame that it's clashing with Listowel, Guinness Kerry National Day in Listowel. And it's like I said, from our point of view, we won't lose 3 cars going to Laytown, and Laytown won't lose 3 cars coming to Listowel. But that's not the point. And I'm not talking behind anyone's back. I've said it to Brian Kavanagh and Jason Morris. We went up in January to meet him, myself and our chairman in the store, John Galvin. And from our point of view, the Guinness Kerry National is a 200 euro grand euro race. It's a top class race, but the pictures and the papers on Thursday are going to be of Laytown. And that's wrong, because Listowel is the second, third biggest festival in the country. And it's wrong that we're not getting the media. I'm not giving out to the Laytown boys. I'm not.
Are you on the board of?
I am. Right. I'm on the committee in Listowel.
Right. But
I've had a friendly argument or debate with Joe Collins, the Laytown chairman. It's a shame, and I hope it doesn't happen again. But it's, to me, the horse racing game, the horse industry is too small for that, Johnny. Mm. Like, you love Laytown.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't be taken from each other.
The point about the photograph is valid. Every time Laytown races its front page, you just have to hope that Kerry
National. That's because it's only once a year.
Yeah.
I was at it last year for the first ever time, 150 years of Laytown, and I couldn't get over it. I thought, you should be having this every week. And obviously, weather wouldn't dictate that, I'm sure logistics and that, but it is very, very special. A lot of people coming in from England.
It is, yeah.
Can I go back to the photograph, because I was interested. What are you using for that? What camera are you using? And you're talking about seeing it on the back.
The photograph was Nikon D3 camera with a 300mm lens.
Right. And how many of those, you've got them going the whole way up and
there's
the way down?
There's a sequence. Jared, there's a sequence from the minute he just jumped. There's one before that. That's the second one. That's the third one. There's a second one, a third one. And then the next one is of him coming down fourth and fifth one.
Right.
Because it was just a split second. And he was just moving down the beach, and I was just moving behind him just to keep the frame 3/4 full. And obviously Aidan Wall, you can see Aidan, he's the groom. Like, he's just in the right spot for me.
It's amazing.
What kind of makes that now, I'm could be completely talking through my ass here, but the fact that Aidan Wall's back is kind of basically parallel to, who was the jockey again?
Johnny King.
Johnny King's leg. So you've got like, the angles are all aligning in the photo, yeah. And you can see see that just that little triangle between his leg and the horse is the trainer's head, and everything, and just the look of absolute horror in him.
But it's more, oh, what's going to happen now, as opposed to pure horror, because the horror hasn't arrived yet, I think.
But if you see, and the video's on YouTube,
is it?
The athleticism and the agility of Johnny King.
Mm. The jockey.
Like Johnny just, he came down, landed on his feet, held on to the horse, and in a split second jumped up on his back again and was gone. Like jockeys are amazing.
Yeah.
They never cease to amaze.
They're nuts, like, they're just mad. They're amazing what they do.
Yeah, for anybody listening on the radio, this is a very famous photograph and you will have seen it. We'll tweet out the picture as well, but it's at Laytown and it's a horse jumping vertically, throwing his jockey off, and then, as you say, jockey just hops back up and takes part in the race.
And he finished the race, and Aidan Wall was okay, thank God, and Johnny King was okay, and the horse was okay, which is the main thing.
You wouldn't have known, though, Pat, about that horse's behaviour if you were not going to race meetings all the time and the bread and butter every single day, 365, 24/7. How do horses react to your pictures? Do you be careful in the winner's enclosure or at the winning post that you don't get a kick? Do they pick it up?
Oh, you do.
Do they sense it?
The JD course. Horses are animals. And I'd always be careful.
What's the do's and don'ts then?
Like, just don't stand directly behind a horse anyway. That's the first thing. And I suppose don't stand directly in front of him because he'll bite you. So you're either going to get bitten or kicked.
But, have you many times?
Thank God, never. I was lucky at Punchestown one day. I was photographed. It was a horse, J.P. McManus, is an In the Bulgers, won the cross country race. Johnny, what was he called?
Spot the Difference, or
was it Spot the Difference or something like that? Yeah. And I was photographing the connections, and the horse, as you know, goes round in a circle, but he kind of backed away a bit, and he did lash out, and they told me I was lucky. But thank God, touch wood, never.
Do you remember the one at the Curra? There was an amazing
Curra.
I think it was a
Dubai cameraman.
If you can, you probably can find it on YouTube. Yeah. A horse just lashed out at him and literally would have killed him stone
dead. But
he hit the camera. Yeah. He just lashed out. It's one of the most amazing things I've seen on YouTube.
And poor my brother Liam, one day was looking in Fairy House in the Irish Grand National. He was photographing the finish of the race, and you're concentrating. The finish, they've jumped the last, they're coming up the straight, and you're concentrating on photographing it. And a loose horse, Charlie Brooks trained him, Ard Wolf, I think he was called, or something like that, and Graham Bradley had gotten a fall off him. Ran down the opposite direction, so ran from behind Liam's back. And hopped off him as he went by. So Liam was lucky one day.
We obviously have the famous one of Patrick McCann at Cheltenham as well.
Yeah, lucky man.
Nina Carberry and
broke his leg.
This is the funny thing about it. Nina Carberry was riding the horse, was well fancied, and you know, every punter who backed that horse, and it would be thousands because it was Cheltenham, mm-hmm. was absolutely cursing what happened. Meanwhile, in the middle of it all, the human story was the photographer broke his leg and could have been killed, really. The horse ran straight into him. He ducked out through the rail. Patrick was taking photo. And Patrick has a few photos of, here's the second last photo, here's the last photo, and then,
lucky.
Amazing
here's
stuff.
Here's the photo of my broken leg. Well, at least he survived to tell the story. We've got to take a quick break. It's Friday Night Racing here in association with HRI. Love every racing moment. And we're going to be back with more. There's another amazing photograph that I want Pat to talk us through, and we'll get to that right after this.
OTB Sports Radio.
Yeah, you're very welcome back to Friday Night Racing here on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie or follow the new Twitter account at HRI Racing, and you can use the hashtag Every Racing Moment. Pat Healy is our guest this week. Pat, there's another photograph that I wanted to just explain to us what's going on here, because I had it up in the office the other day and everybody's like, that's not real, is it? That's not a real photograph. So this is a race meet in Listowel, is it? Is that
the one with all the fallers?
Yeah. We have it coming up now, I think.
That was the first fence in the Patsy Byrne Beginners Chase.
Looks like the Battle of Waterloo, doesn't
it? Yeah, nine horses and nine jockeys fell.
It's like Caravaggio.
Yeah.
Fine Avon for the stall.
I'm telling you, two stories about that picture, I'll tell you. But the winner, Hill Society was the winner, Johnny. Remember Paul Carberry, knowing me? He's gone. Carberry bucked out, Carberry jumped out the gate and down over the first and was gone and stayed 30, 20 lengths clear the whole way. But like Norman Williamson, Norman is there on the right in the blue colours and white.
On the ground.
See the twist in his leg? And yeah. See his right leg? See the way it's twisting, Ger? He was okay. Liam Cusack in the orange. Liam behind him, trainer now. Underneath that horse is Adrian O'Shea, who's still riding in the blue.
He looks like he's about to get squashed.
Yeah, he's okay, thank God. Dunwoody in the yellow behind navigated his way through the melee,
no
as
way.
He would. The pink cap behind him is Kieran Gall, and behind him jumping is Titley. Tom Rudd is behind Kieran Gall. Go left in, you've Shea Barry on the ground in the red. He was okay, thank God. Conor O'Dwyer, the legendary Conor, on a horse of Christy Roach's. He was okay. Tommy Tracy in the white. Tommy Tracy, then you've Titley in the yellow. To the left, then you've Ken Whelan about to fall. And there's a fallen jockey in the left. I'm not sure who that is. But they were... Yeah, they were all okay. It was the first fence in the straight.
Do you always go the first fence?
No, and that's my father gave out to me that day when I got to the races, because I think that was 1990. What was it, Johnny?
Seven,
yeah. And I think I was, as the stall races does, if you go out, you just get caught up in the bubble. And I ended up in Jack Carroll's, in Eamon Carroll's, till 5 o'clock in the morning or something. And
the previous night?
Yeah, of course. And back then it was different. There was different times back then. And
what age are you in? Like mid-20s, and your father was giving out to you for being out too late?
But he gave out to me, and he was right, because I turned up at the races, and it's not that I was falling around the place. I wasn't. I was grand, but I looked grand. But he obviously smelt my breath. And he said, get out of here, he said. There's a smell of drink off you. And he was dead right. I said, number one, getting given out to my father was bad enough. And number two, I had to get out of there. So I said, I'm going for a walk anyway. And I walked down the track to stay out of the way. That's the only reason I was at the fence. So that was the first bit of luck. But I was working for the Sport and Life newspaper at the time. And that time it was all film. And next thing, there was no digital camera. So I didn't know you couldn't see it. I said, I have something here. This is good. This has to be good. There was a whole sequence, and I said, this has to be good. So into Tralee, into Kerry's Eye newspaper, the Kennellys in Tralee, and rang Kerry Kennelly on the way in. I said, Kerry, you have to look after me. I have something really special. And at the time as well, I had a deal with Info, Billy Stickland and the boys in Info. So I got into Tralee, and Kerry opened the door at Kerry's Eye and developed the film. And I remember we were inside the dark room, and it was coloured, the film came out, and we were drying it.
That's class.
And he just looked at me with his mouth open, and he was blow drying the film. And he says, deadly, we have it, you know. And banged it onto Info, and Info the next day.
How did you transfer to Info?
It was like a fax. It was like a fax machine, to more or less. Yeah. It went onto a roll, a thing at the side, and whatever way it worked, you pressed the button, and it went down the phone line anyway. It went down the phone line. So I got it onto Billy and the boys in Info, and the next day I was on the front of seven national newspapers. I remember going to Joe Gearon's supermarket in the stall, and there was, do you know the way they stocked?
The line of papers.
Yeah.
Ah, that's brilliant.
And it was like, but I'd rang the Sport and Life, and Jeremy Chapman, he's a golf correspondent now.
The tipster guy.
Yeah. Jeremy, and rang Jeremy. I said, Jeremy, hold the front page. What does every photographer want to say? And Jeremy's a great character. He says, why, what have you got? And I said, just wait and you see it. And I got it over to him anyway. And he said, that's unbelievable. And he said, right, Pat, thanks very much. We'll go with that. So instead of having eight, I'm looking at seven, the Times, the Independent, the Examiner, the Mirror, the Star. Next, I look at the Sport and Life. A picture of the Tory on a donkey. I'm going, what?
Literally on a donkey, like.
Because it was the anniversary of the Seven, Magnificent Seven, a year's anniversary, and they put him on a picture of him on a donkey, saying, can he repeat it for that day?
So,
and they put it on page two or something in black and white. They messed it up altogether. And I rang him, I said, Jeremy, what are you after doing to me? And he said, even then, he said, Pat, you know what? We thought it was too close to the bone, people would be giving out.
And now.
This is like
that's
then,
20
like
20 years
that's,
ago.
That's British racing to an absolute key. Yeah. Like, and that is, yeah. And probably they'd be a a slew of callers ringing in. Oh my God, this is these wild animals, and but no interest in the jockeys who are probably about to break their neck.
Yeah, I was delighted anyway. Like it'll never happen again.
I never heard that.
20 years later, Pat.
Yeah, it did. But to get again, not in the same way. Like to get seven front pages.
It's sensational. Yeah.
And the racing industry paper decided against it.
Yeah, there you go.
You've been around the world, obviously, with the industry. Pat, what's the best race you've ever seen?
Oh, the best race. I think because of the game we're in, there's always something. And it's like you're into soccer, and what's your best final, or even football match, or GA match. But I've been lucky to witness brilliant races. Like every time, personal reasons, Easterbrack was brilliant. Charlie Swan, 3 in a row in Cheltenham. Storm and Norman doing the Dublin Cheltenham. Then I remember races like Zignata. Remember Zignata going for that record in the Breeders' Cup in Churchill Downs and getting blame beat her on the line. Mm. And like, she was going for a record.
Were you at that?
I was at it.
Okay, so.
And I remember thinking.
Were you working at that or just?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, working. And I remember thinking, I'm after coming all the way from the stall to capture this, and she gets beat. Mm. And she was such a huge name. She was Hollywood, Zignata. So I remember that race. But great races, then, like, there's one, that, like, Enable now this year, what she's doing. Do you know, See the Stars? I loved See the Stars. He was brilliant. Frankel. So there's always something, John. There's always something comes along. It's hard to, and you just remember those races.
Did you get a good snap of Hardy Eustace, Archibald and Brave Inca back
great.
Then?
Great, on the line, the three of them, yeah.
Yeah, there are a few iconic.
Yeah, iconic, that was a great race. See, there you go.
Do you have a position that's like, you know, everybody knows this is Pat's spot at racetracks, or is it still kind of elbows out and making sure?
No. On the racetrack, there's plenty of room, so the big meetings, we'd always have two or three, like Cheltenham now, Liam would cover the last hurdle because the people want the last hurdle shot. And I do the winning line, because now the way it's gone, people like the celebration shot or the jockey going by the line and that. So
is that a change?
It is even the entry Grand National. Like you go back to the 60s, the 70s.
But you've gone down to Beecher's Brook in the past.
Yeah, because that was the picture, John.
Yeah.
The 60s. That's the picture you grew up on. Yeah. The horse coming out over Beecher's.
Yeah.
But now Beecher's is modified, I suppose. Mm.
Yeah. And it's not what it was.
It's not what it was.
Yeah.
But now there's 25, 30 photographers on the winning line in entry because the papers want the iconic Mackay picture when he went by the Grand National punching the air, you know. That's what they want.
Yeah.
It's just a horse going by the winning line and a jockey punching the air.
Pat's best kind of, his most famous, you know, tactic is in the winner's enclosure. And when I was involved in the horse years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I didn't know Pat at all. But I do remember that he kind of remembered you, which is something significant. If you're just nobody and you're involved in a horse, Pat has that. It's like the barber that remembers your name and then you're likely to go back again because, you know, that human touch. But Pat's big thing was smile, lads, you won, right? So because for some reason, like everyone's a bit giddy after winning a race, but sometimes they're a little bit shell-shocked or they're kind of this and that, or they're wondering is she in the photo or is he in the photo, and they're standing around the horse and Pat says, smile, lads, you won. And for some reason, everyone finds it hilarious. Yeah. So I started becoming a journalist and I go into races and I'd be going through the motions at a lot of race meetings when, you know, I'd be at a run-of-the-mill meeting and next thing Pat would be, smile, lads, you won. And I said, geez, this must be the 1,000th time I've heard that and it still works.
It
still works.
It could be their first time.
Yeah, exactly. And if he says it to a bunch of cool Moor lads in the Curragh, you know, they still laugh. Yeah. Because Pat Healy and it works.
Yeah.
But you're also, I've seen you in action, Pat. You own the enclosure because I suppose you know that in that 2 to 3 minutes, you have to get this right. The Taoiseach could be there, the President could be there. We got to get this right. We got to have everybody well behaved and get good chops for the connections because once they come around, they'll go, oh, where's the photo?
Yeah, but the enclosure is like there'd be beside Healy Race and you'd have Caroline Norris, of course, Patrick McCann, and Peter Mooney would go every day. But we'd know the personalities involved. So then the lads that come from the agencies or other newspapers, like you just say, lads, we'll set it up and everyone stand back. But on the big days, there's gas. Everyone gets excited and they put on fisheye lenses and they think that being in on top. But it's a help knowing the personalities, because they kind of stand in for you, Johnny. Or they'll do what you ask them.
But so some dark days though as well. There've been some tough days in the game.
Oh, shocking. Too many. Like Stephen McCormack, I remember I was only a kid. I was 8 or 9 or 10 years of age at Fairy House, Lord of Mercy. He got a fall in front of me at Fairy House at the third last hurdle. He was the first jockey that I would have. And of course, didn't push Arnie Cleary, Kieran Kelly, and of course, John Thomas. I'm afraid of leaving Darry Cullen. You know, Johnny, there's. What was Pat Fahey's stable lad?
Yeah.
The nice young fella. I'm
Ronan. Yeah.
Sorry for getting his name now. And in England, of course, Richard Davis, his anniversary was the other day. It's horrible. And but that's why I admire the boys so much, because like they go around on an animal and they have two ambulances following them behind. What are motor racing? What other sport does that happen in, you know? But they'll always be remembered. That's the one thing about the racing game. We'll always remember them. And even John Thomas, like Liam, he was Liam's best friend, and there were some duo now, but John Thomas was a great character. And there's not a day goes by they're not mentioned. And dark days and horrible. And unfortunately, it's part of the game.
Everybody seems to accept that it is part of the game, and maybe by talking about it the whole time and by keeping them alive, that somehow keeps that pressure away from being too much and overbearing.
Yeah. It's they're amazing men, because like they talk about the red light, or when a jockey's bottle is gone. I suppose it's like anything when it comes with age. But like, why would you do it? Like,
it's just a drug.
It shows how great Ruby was, the way he just went out in the top.
It's an absolute drug. Like, we had Freddie Talisky's sister on Madeline, obviously, and I've no doubt Freddie would go straight back riding if he could.
If he could, yeah.
And that's just the way.
And Ruby broke every bone from head to toe, like,
a couple of times,
Do you know, it's like...
Pat, I did have a question to ask you about the career you didn't have, because I understand you were a very handy club Gaelic footballer.
Oh, Sunday racing ruined my Gaelic football career, I'll tell you that. No, Listowel Limits, enjoyed it, loved it, all the way up.
Played senior?
Played a few senior matches, but great trainers, great players. Our under 16 and minor team was a great team. We were on the back of that 86 Kerry football team, I suppose, like the likes of Tom Kelly, Tommy Sweeney, John Hattonett. There was great footballers in that team. Mike Kennelly came on it, the horse's brother. But we great trainer. Tommy Dalton was our trainer. Tom Fitzgerald was a trainer. Great men, great trainers. Mm. Like every other club in the country.
Who's the horse?
Tim Kennelly. Mm. The horse was a hero of mine. Sure, he captained Kerry. He lifted Sam Maguire in 1979, and he had a pub in the town. And sure, to see a Kerry captain walking down the street and know him, and it was
inspiring stuff.
It was great. Yeah.
But he didn't always look after you though, did he, Tim?
No, he was a big hot baller, like everyone else in the stall. He was a big hot baller, and he had the pub at the time. But he was a great character, and we had great crack and great times.
Was there one specific instance?
But his younger brother Mike.
Was there a pass?
His younger brother Mike. Mike is a counsellor now for Fine Gael, North Kerry, gas man. But Mike, I was in St Michael's College. And Mike joined us in second year. I think he was kicked out of St. Brendan's after a year in Killarney. And he was a bad influence on me, Mike was. And we'd been to the pub. That time there was Sunday close. And maybe it was,
close
from 12 to 3 or whatever.
Yeah, after Mass, yeah.
And sure, Mike would be running the pub for Timmy and Nuala, and we'd be there all day. But we won the North Kerry League 1 year, and we were playing Douai and Ballylongford, and I scored 3-3 from half back.
You've never heard about this pass.
Oh, and I had a stormer.
We have another hour.
It's a pity it's not on YouTube. Maybe
we'll dig it out somewhere.
But so that I don't know what they do in other towns, but that time to win a final, whether you was under 12s or 14s or 16s, you got to go in the car, and the car went around the town, and they blown the horns, and there was a convoy of cars, and we'd all be out the windows with the jerseys and the cup. And that was part of playing football and wanting to win. But of course, we were old enough anyway, and we were drinking. And we ended up at Tim's, and so we had a few pints, and I ended up staying upstairs with Mike. And the next day, the Monday morning, of course, that's what you do, but you go back and...
The rollover.
We topped up. I remember at the bar, and I'm having a drink, and next thing, the horse slides in beside me. And I just kind of straightened up, and he says, Pat, he says, I haven't seen a performance like what you put in yesterday in a long time. He says, that was something else. I says, yeah. He says, I'm thinking, he says, you should be in McCarry. You should be on the panel. And of course, the chest came out, and next thing he went away. And I, you know, your chest is out, and Tim Kennelly says, I should be able to carry a panel. That was grand. I was having a drink, and he came back 20 minutes later, and the same story. He says, thinking more about that now. He says, you should be in McCarry. He says, you're that good. He says, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you Mick O'Dwyer's number. And you go out and you ring him and you tell him. So I was only 18 years of age, and really. So at that time you went out the back of Tim's pub, and there was the old phone.
Oh, the A and the B, put the money in. Yeah.
Press button A. So I dialed the number, and my heart was beating. I said, Mr. O'Dwyer answers now. And sure enough, he answered. And, hello? I said, Mr. O'Dwyer? Yes. I said, this is Pat Healy here from the Stall, Mr. O'Dwyer. How can I help you? I said, Mr. O'Dwyer, we won the North Kerry final yesterday. Oh, I saw that in the paper. How did you do? Were you playing? I said, I was, Mr. O'Dwyer. How did you get on? I said, I scored 3-3 from half back. Jeez, he said, that's great. Fair play, Joe. What can I do for you? I said, no, I was just talking to a few of the boys there and Mr. Dwyer, and they said I should be in with Kerry, I should be on the panel. Who did you beat again? I said, we beat Dwyer, Mr. Dwyer. The next time Kerry are playing Dwyer, I'll give you a ring. And that wasn't too bad, but I had to come back into the bar, and the minute I walked through the door of the bar, the whole place erupted. And there was the horse and he above laughing. He put me away. But it was a great day and a great story.
It's funny the history repeating itself now, because I was down in Waterford and I saw a statue there the other day, and five in a row still hasn't been done.
No. And Touchwood won't be done.
Yeah.
But there was another one. There was a great referee, Chassie Cronin. In he was referee to the North Kerry matches, and we were outside in Ballybunnan one day playing, and I was going through. And powering through, and I'm heading for the 21-yard line, and we're playing Bale, and John Farrell was a big man now, Jack Farrell. And it came out of nowhere, and bang, flattens me. It was like I saw a few stars, and I'm down the ground, hopped off the ground. And next thing, after a couple of seconds, I'm about to get up, and I just want to take the free. And next thing I look, and there's Chassie, and he's the book out, and he's writing in the book. And he says, Chassie, what are you taking my name for? So I'm the one that was fouled. And he says, ah, Pat, I'm not taking your name at all. So I'm just writing down the score. You never miss, he says. Well, there was at that time there was the Atlantic Hotel and the Cliff House Hotel was going in Ballybunnan.
Yeah.
The nightclubs. And there was a couple of girls down from Limerick. And of course, Kennelly again, Mike Kennelly and Pat Kelly were my wingmen. And Pat Kelly was Hollywood now. He was as good looking fella as you'd see. Kennelly was good with the gab, and I wasn't too bad myself. And we'd asked a couple of these girls from Limerick to come out and see the match.
So you three lads and two women?
No, I think there was five girls from Limerick, right, the three of us.
That
but I could see them behind the goals. Yeah. And I put the ball over the bar, and of course I saw the girls below, and I'd done a cantona. But of course that off into Ballybunnan town, and we had a great old crack.
Great days.
Yeah.
I'd say getting doing a cantona in the Kerry Championship results in a box the next time the ball is gone the wrong direction for the referee to see it. A reminder, Friday Night Racing is brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. We should try and pick some winners for you. The Tote Irish Injured Jockeys Fund was boosted
by 280 euros last week after Spruce Meadows landed a big gamble for the Johnny Fiend stable last weekend at Down Royal. So the fund now stands at, pardon me, 7,549 euros. The Irish action is going to come from Navan and Wexford tomorrow, while on Sunday we're going to see the start of the Harvest Festival at Listowel. The big race in the UK this weekend is going to be the Sprint Cup Stakes at Haydock, where the Aidan O'Brien trained 10 Sovereigns attempts to bounce back from a disappointing effort in the July Cup. But very positive noises coming out a bit during the week about that. A reminder, Tote customers can enjoy free racecourse tickets to selected meetings throughout the year. See thetote.com for more details. A word about Listowel before we actually pick stuff up here for the weekend. It's one of those festivals that has like a narrative story around it from some of the great American sports writers who come over and spend the week and get lost in it. Why so amazing? What is the thing that makes this so powerful?
Again, it's 161st festival this year, so we're proud of it in Listowel, and I think that's the whole thing. It goes back to the old market town community. Everyone in Listowel is proud of the races, and everything happens after the races. Fellas go back to school, but they study after the races, or you it's like having New Year's resolutions. Your resolution is after the races.
Right, yeah.
But it's the community. It is, because the townspeople, they embrace it, they get behind it, they look after it. People open their doors and they do B&B, and it helps them buy their kids uniforms for school, or puts money away for Christmas. And the same people you'll find come back to those B&Bs and those bed and breakfasts. And it's, everything is localised. You can walk around the town, and Kerry people anyway are open and accommodating and love to engage with visitors, and that's the part, that's the great thing about Listowel town. Sure, it's huge for the local economy. I think it's about 14 or 15 million to North Kerry. It provides loads of, if you like, it gets businesses over the winter. Because after the stall races, October, November, it's quiet.
Yeah.
The tourist season has really gone back a bit.
So it's properly implicated in the community. It's a bigger thing than just the racing itself.
Yeah. And as kids, then you grow up in it, because the fun fair comes to town.
Right.
And the park's up in the market yard, which is in the middle of the town. And as a child, sure, that's all good for you. And
it's a lovely racetrack.
You get to school.
Kind of between two rivers, kind of, isn't it?
Oh, the river field goes around it. It's called the island racecourse. And but as a kid, then you get the week off school, which is great, and it's grown. We've 1.3 million in prize money now. The class of horse has gone up. Everything has gone up. Like Japan won his maiden in the stall last year. Yeah. He could win the
He's passed winning a Kerry National won the Grand National.
Dorn's Pride. Yeah. Les Cargo ran back in the day. Alam Shar, an Irish Derby and King George winner. So. But it's hard work. There's a great committee. We're lucky. We have Brenda Daly is our secretary. She's fantastic. Her father, Brendan, of course, was secretary for 60 years odd.
Wow.
Dan Connell is our groundsman. He's brilliant.
So it's a multi-generational family.
Yeah,
community.
Dan's dad, Paddy Connell, done before him. And John Sheehan is our enclosure manager. And as I said, the town puts the shoulder to the wheel and embraces it and loves it. And we're lucky to have it in Listowel.
Well, look, I hope it's a great festival for you, and congratulations on
that. I also hope to make the half four train pass. So
right.
you do go on a bit.
Will you wait? Will you beat the Dubs?
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. Yes, why won't we? Like, these young fellas, fair play, and I admire them, and everybody in Kerry GAA. They're playing their second All Ireland in 2 weeks. Like, imagine the frame they're coming up, as opposed to going away for 365 days and not getting a second bite.
The one thing on that, the Irish Independent, they gave the Kerry full forward line no better than 7 out of 10 for any of them. So there's room for improvement in the Kerry full forward line. They missed a lot of chance in the first half. I don't buy into the fact that they blew it at all. I think they actually came back from two big deficits in the game
to force a draw.
I wouldn't give up hope.
Yeah, so if we get the look, JD, the bounce of the ball and a bit of luck, sure, look. But can I say something, as a Kerry man, and I love the football, we're big fans of the Dublin team, and everyone knows that. You have to admire them. I know Kilkenny, he goes racing a bit.
Kieran Kilkenny,
and sure, the Brogans, the Brogans are from the Listowel anyway, so they're fully Kerry. They dragged Marie's born and reared in Listowel, Marie Brogan, the Brogan's mother. But they're great athletes, great footballers, and we do admire them. But please God, this Kerry team will stop the five in a row.
We'll see. Give us some winners, Johnny.
Yeah.
And some of the other stuff that's happening this weekend.
If I don't get to the game tonight, Pat Healy's to blame there. But obviously the Betfair Spring Cup, the harsher mention of Aidens won't run because of the ground. Unfortunately, Cadeen might take the beating there. I should give selection as well at Navan in the big race, which is the nursery. Navan has a good meeting tomorrow. I've shout out to the lads from the Blades Bar in East Belfast. A lot of them coming down to Navan tomorrow. Create a bit of crack down there. Joshua Bryan's horse in that won very well at the Curragh last time. Would have a good chance if I can get the name of it here. A horse by Star Spangled Banner. And that is Chrysalium. And Chrysalism, rather, trained by Joseph O'Brien, won well at the Curra. My nap is in the 220. We're obviously in good form at the moment. This horse is going to be a good price. Anything you want to be, I really, really fancy it. It could be 14 to 1.
Anything
you want to be. That's in the 220 at Navan. Really fancy it. And there's obviously Lestole starts on
Sunday.
Ask Susan, I'd be a big fan of their running in the handicap chase. Good prize money at Lestole. And then we also have Wexford on Saturday, and obviously Navan. But yeah, Lestole is a cracking meeting next week, and looking forward to getting down there.
Have you got any winners for us in Lestole? Are you allowed to have winners in Lestole?
Keep an eye out for Eric McNamara. Eric, based in Rathkeel.
Pomios.
Won the Kerry Nationals 2 years in a row. Keep an eye out for Eric's runners, always targets it, and he'll have a couple of chances. If I can just say two things, lads. There is a small cloud over Lestole because, unfortunately, during the week it buried poor Mary Connolly. Mary passed away, 52 years of age. Her two sons, Billy and Tom, and of course we're thinking of her family, and it will bring a small dark cloud over the festival. Of course, she's a great girl, and we all loved her. And we're thinking of her and the Connolly family. And of course, I have to say, Smullen, keep going. We miss him at the races, and we're all thinking of Smullen, and keep fighting. And we're looking forward to the charity race. And Smullen was always a great support of Lestole and looked after us behind the scenes with the track and a few things that needed done. And just to tell Smullen we're thinking of him as well.
Yeah, I'll be bigging that race up next week. I've been talking to people about, I think the Curragh is going to get an absolutely huge crowd on Sunday weekend. Some people are doubting me, but I know the regard that Pat Smullen has held in the racing industry. I also know how much people want to see the likes of McCoy, Ruby, Kieran Fallon, Murta riding against each other. Pat won't be in the race, but I think the Curragh will get a huge crowd because that's what he means to the industry.
Yeah. No, for sure.
Here, well said.
A great note to finish this week's Friday night race. And I hope you've enjoyed it, Pat. I hope you enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, lads.
Yeah, really enjoyed it. You can come back anytime.
Thank you.
And best of luck for the festival and best of luck in Croker in a week's time at this point as well. Friday night racing on Off the Brawl was brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie. That's your lot for this week. We'll be back next week at the same time. If you're listening on the radio, stay tuned. A bit more to come your way.
Friday Night Racing on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Horse Racing Ireland. Love every racing moment. Visit hri.ie.